I just feel it fitting to finish with a prayer before we ask Chris to come and preach. So, Father God, I want to pray a blessing over everybody in the room, every single person that's here today, Father. God is saying that he's got a plan and a destiny for everybody in this room. And he's prepared to meet you where you are today, yeah, so that he can walk with you on this journey. We thank you, Father, that you love and care for us that much that you will meet us where we are today to see us fulfill our full potential in you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all those plans and promises you've spoken over our lives. And we declare them into being today, Father. And we all say, Amen. Thank you, Father.
When we upload this message, could you add Mark's prayer, not the one he prayed for me just then, but the one you just said before that at the very end? Could you add that to the message? Because that's basically the message. Smashed it. No, so what you need to realise is how the Holy Spirit speaks to me is not regular to other people. And I have a conversation with him with that. I say, you expect me to do things most people won't do. And he laughs and says, yeah, I know. And? And so when I'm preparing for a preach or a word given, God would want to prepare my heart. And the way he prepared my heart today was, I'll tell you as you go. I know what God wants to say and how to communicate that. But the reason being is because sometimes he wants us just to be able to hear from him for the moment that we're in. I can prepare a preach and just rattle it off. But God says, not today. Today is an intentional part. So when Mark was praying, he was praying specifically for you to hear what God wants to meet you on your journey with Jesus, for you to be transformed in him. Message done. Okay? But we've got some more time to use up. So today I want to talk about... do I sound okay? I sound a little bit... Thank you. I'll start talking because then you can hear. It's just a bit attacky. I want to talk to you today. The message today is about the 10 lepers. There's a story in Luke 11 about 10 lepers. And Jesus, out of his ministry, healed many. And there's two accounts where he healed people with leprosy. One was a single man in Mark 1. Where Jesus comes and a guy runs to him. He said, have mercy on me, Jesus, and heal me. And Jesus laid his hands on the man, healed him from leprosy, told the man, don't say a word, but show yourself to the priest. But the guy could not keep his mouth shut, ran off and told everyone that Jesus had healed him, which made a problem for Jesus, because wherever he went, he just got inundated. Leprosy back in Jesus' day was a death sentence, because there was no remedy for it. And there was no remedy for leprosy. So if you got it, the disease itself didn't kill you. It's the process killed you. So when you lost sensation in your fingers and your toes and your nose and your lips, and then you had sores, it's the infectation of the sores and the openness that you died from. So the leprosy didn't kill you, it was what happened to you on the journey. And I want to read you the story. This story is actually not a parable, it's actually a real event. And that's important, because when we pull out... and we address it. So the story I'm going to go from, it's actually in Luke 17... Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled through the border of Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men with leprosy met him and stood at a distance. And they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on me." And as he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them who saw himself that he was healed came back and praised God aloud. He threw himself on Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus, I said, "Did I not cleanse all 10? But only this foreigner came back." Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So leprosy back in the day was a death sentence, not because of the illness, but because what you got along the way, the lifestyle that they had. It only became cured in 1940. And the guy who discovered what happened to the disease was Henson's disease, that's what it's called. And basically, the disease actually, and the Greek for it, if you want the Greek, is actually like scaly skin. And, you know, if you want to know how the Jewish people viewed leprosy, read Leviticus 13. It's a real page-turner. It just goes through all the stuff you have to do if you've got a skin disease. And then you show yourself to the priest. They check you out. You go back there for 7 days. You come back. They check you out again. Either they keep you and you cure you, or you get casted out into outside the camp. But what I found really interesting is leprosy couldn't be cured. But yet there was a process that you came through when you were healed. Interesting, isn't it? So even though leprosy could not be cured, in Leviticus it says, well, if you've got it, go to the priest and he will check you out to see if you're well. So it's almost like God prepares a place for healing, even where there's no place for healing, until healing comes. And what I want to say to you, one of the first things I want to mention is wherever you are in your life, God's intentional. Do not say to God, "You can't change it. It's impossible. I'm always going to be like this. I'm always going to think like this. I'm always going to feel like this. I'm always going to be seen like this." But for God's not like that. God's intentional for restoration and healing. And in the practical, it's in Leviticus. It's quite interesting, isn't it? So the healing didn't take place. The cure didn't happen until 1940. But here in Leviticus, it tells you to go and show yourself to the priest. And he will make assumptions of where you are at. In the Bible, there were two people who were healed from leprosy. They were all miraculous. Get my teeth in. So today, what I want us to, just to know that God's intentional with us and this church. It's really important to know that God is calling us to step into realms where he wants to move in power, in connection, in healing, in restoration, in situations that we don't think, in situations we have not seen God move yet. Over the door, there is the declaration of Isaiah 61. The Spirit on the Sovereign Lord is upon me, is upon us, to preach the good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and for release from darkness to prisoners, and declare the year of the Lord's favor and the vengeance of our God. He gives us a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And we will be called oaks of righteousness. I believe that's a declaration over this church. for two reasons. One, people coming in will have that encounter of God. And two, God will use us to see it happen. And that's really important. We define ourselves as a hospital church. So we're going to have patients, but we need doctors. And we need nurses, and we need orderlies, and we need the administration, and we need to know how we stand together. In a hospital, it's not chaos, but there's order. And the reason was the order is because God's intentional. God's planning a way of us to stand together, and to stand together means we need to know where we should be and who we are in Christ. I want to lift up to you all the mature in this church. I'm not talking aged maturity. I'm talking spiritual maturity. And I want to say thank you. Seriously, thank you. God has taken this church on a journey of a new wineskin that has taken probably 5 to 6 years to come into fruition. And if it wasn't for the mature and God's faithfulness to us, we would not be here. I needed people of maturity to stand around me when I was freaking out inside about, God, what are you doing with this church? And we gathered together. Do you remember the days when we had the wider leaders meetings in the lounge? Because we gathered together because we needed to hear the voice of God. We needed to know, God, where are you taking us right now? What are you doing with us right now? And it was the mature in Christ that were able to stand with us as leaders, following the Holy Spirit, even though we did not know where we were going. It says that in Hebrews 11. To go on the future together. So I want to lift up the mature to say thank you for your faithfulness. Because I needed it. And we learned to stand together. However, the job is not done. I need the mature to know who they are in Christ. You need to know your identity. You so need to know your identity. And the reason why you need to know your identity is because when you know where you should be and operate in the overflowing of what God's called you to be, you will flourish. And when you flourish, you will reap. And when you reap, you will fruit. And when you fruit, you will bless. And when you bless, people will gather. But when you're operating as an orderly, when God's called you to work in administration, or you're working in administration and God's called you to be a doctor, or you're working as a doctor and God's called you to be a cleaner, and God's called, to make sense, you're in the wrong positions. So you need to know who God's called you to be. I need you to be in the position, as leadership, we need you to know who you are in Christ. And our weekend away as church family is about exactly that. We want everyone to go in there with a heart prepared to hear who God's called you to be. For me, I'm a Holy Spirit-led pioneer and liberator. I can only do it being led by the Holy Spirit. And I love him. He's incredible. He's so creative. He always wants to ask the most of me. And I think, are you kidding me? And he's laughing and saying, come on, we can do this together. And I find myself in situations that haven't even started and I'm doing it. And I absolutely love it. And I love to see people liberated. For me, that's Isaiah 61. I want people to come into their fullness of who God's called them to be. And I'm intentional to see that happen. You know, I love people and in our brokenness. And I want to talk about our brokenness today, which is about the leprosy, the 10 lepers. When you've got leprosy, it was their identity. So when you had leprosy, you had to move out of living in your community and you were ostracized, you were pushed away. But what's interesting about leprosy is it happens to anyone. The rich, the poor, the intellectual, the non-intellectual, the gifted, the lazy, you just, when you were a leper, you were a leper. That was your identity. It was a wrong identity, but it was your identity. And Jesus was walking through Samaria and Judea, it says. And that's an interesting place, because that's where that's generally a chunk where the Samaritans were and the Gentiles were. It is interesting that they weren't quibbling about you're a Samaritan and I'm a Jew. They weren't quibbling about you're educated and I'm not. They were just put in together because they had leprosy. And the only community they had was their brokenness. Yeah? Now, the thing about brokenness is I've seen in my journey with broken people, and we are all broken people. We are all on the journey of being transformed into ever-increasing glory. So you're not perfect. Sorry about that. You're not. And the reason why we're not is because we're not yet in completion with Jesus. But with broken people, we can have a journey. And as a life coach, you can have two types of broken people. You can have broken people who, in their brokenness, think they have no value. And because they feel that they have no value, they think, I'm imprisoned and I'm here and help. And they need people to rescue, Isaiah 61. They need people to break out of their prison because they're imprisoned. They've got nowhere to go. I'm always going to be like this. I'm always going to think like this. I'm always going to feel like this. I'm always going to have limitations like this. I'm always going to be poor. I'm always going to be impoverished. I'm always going to be unliked. Does that make sense? Then you've got other people who are broken, who are just angry, who are just like, how dare you allow this to happen to me? Who do you think you are, God of love? Who are you? I'm busted. I've been chased from pillar to post. I've got no education, or my body doesn't work properly, or my brain doesn't work properly, or my family's rubbish, or, you know, one disaster of another. You call yourself God of love, and they rage. And then they have this pain, and that pain's got to go somewhere. And being someone that loves people, I see it. And people with pain have pain, and they don't want to keep their pain. They want to get out, and they want to get out any way they can. And they can be spiteful, resentful, and they can be intentional to cause crazy. They'll do something, start a little emotional fire over here, then walk off and go, yep, I did that. Look at those two arguing with each other. Nicely done. Feel a little bit better now. Oh, let's go over here. It's quite a little bit crazy. Bit of division. A little bit. She said that. I said this. He did that. He did that. Move over here. Let's put it back. Oh, yeah. Feel quite good. And they may do it, and they may not even know they do it. Some people can do it intentionally. Some people can do it unintentionally. But they just do it. Because why? Because I just cause pain. Got nowhere to put it. Jesus says, give me everything. Give me the soft stuff. The stuff that you don't want to tell people. The stuff where you go, mate, I need to be on. I need to be truthful. Because the thing about identity is quite strange. We can have a false identity of who we are. You know, I don't know, addicted to porn or addicted to drugs or anger or gossip or whatever like that. You know, that's a false identity. Leprosy was a false identity. You know, a true identity is that I'm broken and I want to be transformed. And that's owning where you're at. I am imprisoned and I want to be free. That's the truth. That's a real identity. That's your real identity. And then you move into the fullness of who God's called you to be. Does that make sense? It's really important to know the difference. And in this journey, it's interesting. Because Jesus, in Mark 1, where he heals the leper, it says that Jesus was indignant. And I got, it's a weird word, indignant. It's almost like going, I'm going to heal you, but you're going to cause a lot of crazy for me. So he heals the man. He tells him not to tell anybody. But he tells everybody. And then Jesus wasn't able to go anywhere. But then with these 10, he heals them. And I love this. One thing you need to know about Jesus. Jesus is always with the broken. He doesn't leave you. When we lost Isla, one of the darkest days of my life, Jesus didn't leave me. He was right there in the middle of it. In fact, he was there to meet me. I was like, wasn't expecting that. Glorifying God in the midst of my broken heart. And God is good, right? So I get a megaphone. I can have a megaphone in the midst of my pain. God can heal, and he does heal, and it's beautiful when he does. And when we hear testimonies of babies being delivered perfectly, I'm like, come on, Jesus. But there's days when babies aren't delivered perfectly. And I'm like, come on, Jesus. You get a megaphone, man. Why? Because God's good, doesn't change. It's really important to know that God's in the midst of our pain. And I love this about Jesus. Jesus was God's son. His identity, that he was the son of God. At his baptism, you know, he spoke in a loud voice. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He ain't done anything. But yet, that was who God called him to be. Glasses. Or bigger print, one or the other. God's speaking to people here today because he wants people to be truthful. I've got a destiny for you. I've got a calling for you to be the person I've called you to be. Are you brave enough to receive it? Are you brave enough to meet me? With the lepers, they met Jesus on the journey of being healed. He didn't heal them, and then they went to see the priest. He said, go and meet the priest. Go find the priest and show yourselves to the priest. They were healed on the journey. Some of us, we are healed, and we encounter. I met a man this week who God healed of leukemia, and out of that he became a Christian. Praise God. There's other people I know who died of leukemia and they knew Jesus. Praise God. There's other people on the journey of encountering Christ as they have leukemia. And us as church, we are being transformed. So God's got a promise for you, and you may not be complete yet, and you're not complete yet, but you will be made complete. God says, go on the journey with me. Don't be afraid to go on the journey with me. Why? Because I've got a future for you. He's got a future for you here in this church. I wish, and my heart's cry is that every single one of you in this room goes on that journey, and you discover who God's called you to be. And you flourish, which means be fruitful. Give it away. Encounter people's lives. Let God encounter your life. Let your testimony be good. Yeah? It's really important. And you will be transformed on that journey. I love it. You know, at work, you don't know who you are, do you? Does that make sense? So I'm always me, and I don't know what I do when I walk into a room, because I'm always me. So when I walk in a room, I just go, blah, and people, oh, Chris is in the room. But you don't see yourself be the interaction. You're just you. And then one day, I came in the room, and they said, see what I'm wearing? I went, oh, you're wearing a little bit of colour. This lady wears black all the time, and she had a blue cardi on. It wasn't crazy blue, it was like a nice blue. And she said, look, and she was really proud about wearing blue. And she said, when I wore this, I was thinking of you. And I was like, really? And she said, we love it when you come into our office on Thursdays. Why? Why? Because you're just so joyful all the time. So are you joyful all the time? And I went, yeah, I try to be. And what I mean by that is because the Bible says, be joyful always. Am I always happy? No. Am I miserable on days? Yes. Am I cranky? Yes. Am I irritable? Yes. Do I get up Karen's nose? Yes. Yeah? Am I joyful? Yes. Children come up to me and say, missed you today, sir. You didn't welcome us today. I was running a little bit late. We love you welcoming us. The kids are as awkward as you like. They'll come in, and I welcome every single pupil into the school who come through my doorway. Some kids are really incredibly awkward and like, Chris, don't talk to me, don't talk to me. Other kids are learning to smile. But what I do realise, everyone has an encounter. And my encounter is kindness and welcoming and encouragement and enriching and edifying. I don't tell any student off. If they're wearing some crazy outfit, I'm thinking, I like your outfit, let me know how that goes for you today. Because I don't think that's going to happen. But my job isn't to tell them off. My job is to welcome them. If God's job is to be you to be an encourager, encourage. If God's called you to be a facilitator, facilitate people to be brilliant. If he's told you to speak truth in love. Does that make sense? But you've got a fruit, use it. So I sound really a bit shouty today, don't mean to. Yes. So as a church, I want us to be wise about the foxes in our midst. We are going to flourish, and we are flourishing. Seriously. Vision for the lounge, really excited about that. Linda's going to share that next week, hopefully. Vision for the welcome room, open home, lounge, the food bank, the active coffee morning, everything is turning up. It's flourishing. We're becoming fruitful. Men's breakfast, 20 people, most of them not churched. Guys, we need you there. Why? Because you can only be in one place at one time. You can't be. Does that make sense? Why? Well, women's breakfast, don't be surprised if you're going to get 20 women. Why? Because we're impacting the community. We need you to be brilliant. But we want to be mindful about the foxes. And when we start to grow, the enemy doesn't like it. So when you hear something about someone or something about yourself, yeah, go to God with it. Go to God with it. If you hear something crazy about me, yeah, say, is that Chris? Would Chris say that? And you'll go, no. Thank you. Come and speak to me about it. I want to be accountable 100%. If I hear something crazy about Sue, I will indignantly won't believe it. Why? Because I love Sue, and I'll go to Sue to find out what's going on. Yeah? I don't want us to get tripped up by the enemy's schemes trying to be divisive, because he will do, because he does it every single time. And there's going to be an awkward moment, and myself and Greg, awkward moments are really weird, right? If you're nice, please don't be nice to me. And what I mean by that is, if you're just nice to me, you're not loving me. I want you to be kind to me. Right? So niceness is a bit like, I go out to the loo and my flies are undone. Sorry, guys, listening to this. No one tells me, because they're nice. I don't want to embarrass Chris, because his flies are undone. Right? But if you're kind to me, you'll come up to me, whisper in my ear, dude, they slipped down. Yeah. A moment of embarrassment, but I'm now in order. That's kindness. Please don't be nice. Please be kind. We want to be a kind church. We want to be a fruitful church. We want to be a church that loves on each other and wants them to grow. Louis, bless him. He loves me. I love him. But, you know, I've been kind to Louis. Louis's like, stop loving me, Chris. Just stop it right now. And I won't let him get away with it. Why? Because I love him. What? And I'm kind to him. And he's kind to me. You know, so it works both ways. Right, almost there. I love this bit about the lepers. Absolutely massive. So one comes back who's a Samaritan. And we know Samaritans are not favoured in the Jewish community. He comes back absolutely elated. He has just been restored. All of them were restored back into society. They all got their old positions back, probably. Or they got their own back on them. Other people that said, you didn't talk to me when I was a leper. But they got their status back. They got their health back. They got society back. They got their job back. They got their family back. They got all that stuff back. They were healed, it says. One man had that, but he went to find Jesus. And he found Jesus, and he was unashamed. He worshipped Jesus. How cool is that? Samaritan worshipping at the feet of Jesus. He worships at the feet of Jesus. Jesus says, was there not 10 I healed? And this guy's a foreigner. What's going on here? But this is the beautiful bit. He says this. Jesus says this. And I'm going to use it in the New King James. He says, and he said unto him, arise and go, for thy faith has healed thee, and you are whole. The word whole doesn't mean healing. It means completeness. Sozo. It means restored. You can chase after the healer. You can chase after the healing and be healed, which is great for you. Or you go for the healer. You go to Jesus and have an encounter of him and whole. I'm going for this one here. To be made whole. He said he was made whole. He worshipped at the feet of Jesus. He gave thanks to God. And he knew that he had been made whole. My prayer today is that we come to be made whole in Christ Jesus. And we don't, and we move into revelation of who God's called us to be. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this beautiful family. Thank you for our church, your church, the Beacon, here in this place. You have got a future and a hope for us. And we want to become in alignment of all you want us to be. And I pray for every single person who has a false identity. And we take authority in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, for the revelation and truth to fall upon their lives. As they walk amongst us, as they be part of us, that they'll rub and encounter the love of God and be made whole. All those who come into the group and into the lounges and into the food bank and into all that we do, we pray, Lord God, that you will call all those who are wanting to be made whole. We want those to be free and restored and whole and healed. In Jesus' name. But I pray, Lord God, for your church, that we will know who we are in Christ, that we take the right position, that we won't just listen to this word and go off, but we'll be intentional to say, hang on a minute, who have you called me to be? And take off the false identity of who you think you are in Christ because of all the damage you've had, but they will have a new identity. Say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me who you've called me to be, so I may be fruitful, that I may be bountiful, that I may flourish. And I pray for every single member of this church, that in our dreams and in our sleep and in our conversations and in our encounters, that we will be strengthened and encouraged to be the people you've called us to be. For your name's sake, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.